God bless you and praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I have purposed in my heart to be glad in it. If you are listening to this podcast, that means that God has allowed you another day at life, another opportunity to present your body as a living sacrifice unto Him, and another opportunity to seek His purpose and walk in His purpose for your life on this earth. This is Elder Benji Nobles, pastor of Greater Believers Worship Center, located at 824 Northside Drive in Moultrie, Georgia. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I pray that wherever life have you, and wherever you are, and whenever you listen to the podcast, that you are experiencing the presence, the power, and the provision of the Lord in your life. We are excited that you are listening, and that we are excited about what God is doing at Greater Believers Worship Center, and where He has destined us to go, and what He has designed for us to teach in this next series. We are beginning a series, The Power of the Church, The Power of the Church, because we want to be a body of believers that understand our purpose and understand why God designed us and why God formed us. Our mission at Greater Believers Worship Center is to be a non-traditional, multicultural body of believers operating by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the grace of God to transform lives, to equip for ministry, and to impact our community. And in order to do that, we must understand what's the power in the church. And by the word church, we don't mean the building. The church is not the building. The church is the spiritual organism that God has formed, God has placed in this earth to advance His kingdom in this world system. The building, the church building, is just the place, the meeting place that members of the church come in order to fellowship, in order to worship together, in order to be taught the word and to be taught kingdom principles. And once they leave that building, they go out to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. Listen, the church has power. In Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, we see where the first time the word church is utilized. And it is utilized during a conversation that Jesus had with His disciples. The Bible said that Jesus came to His disciples and asked them, "Who do men say I am? Who do men say I am?" And that lets us know that that even Jesus was concerned about how He was being perceived in the world and by individuals. And as believers, as saints, we cannot just frolic and walk around in this world system and do as we want to do. But we ought to be concerned about how we are being perceived, whether or not it's in our behaviors, whether or not it's in our conversations, our dress. We must be concerned about how we are being perceived in this world system. So Jesus asked His disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" He came to His students. Disciples means students, those that pledge themselves to be students of His teaching. A disciple is someone who presents their lives and pledge themselves to understand the things of God and to be taught the things of God, and to not only be taught, but to do those things that they are taught. And so He came to His disciples and said, "Who do men say that I am?" And His disciples gave an interesting answer to that question. They said that some men say that you are Isaiah. Some men say that you are Jeremiah, or some men say that you are John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. And so that gives you a very clue of Jesus's ministry and how He operated and how He taught and how He presented Himself. Because the disciples said, men are saying that you are one of the prophets. And that's what was one of the mistakes that they made about John the Baptist. They thought that John the Baptist was one of the prophets. So Jesus' presentation of the kingdom of God was like one of the prophets. John the Baptist came saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we, anytime you see the prophets operating, they come having a message that turns men's heart towards God. Prophet's ministry is designed to turn men's heart towards God. Prophets speak to men on behalf of God, and priests speak to God on behalf of the people. Prophets speak to men on behalf of God. So prophetic ministry is that of speaking the heart of God. And God is always concerned about, the heart of God is always concerned about sin and iniquity and men living righteous. And so that's why they compared Jesus' ministry to one of the prophets, because when Jesus came, he came talking about turn your hearts towards God. This is the heart. This is the heart of my Father, that he wants you to turn towards him. And so his disciples said that they think you're one of the prophets because the message that you're bringing and how you're bringing it is like one of the prophets coming with a direct, a fiery message of turning the hearts, your heart towards God. And that gives you a clue that prophetic ministry is not only so much about predicting the future or talking about what's going to take place or blessings, houses, cars, and lands and marriages. But prophetic ministry has a lot to do with turning people, presenting a message that turns people's heart towards God. The message that prophets bring forth is a message that causes you to be convicted, that causes you to search your heart and turn your heart towards God. And so Jesus answered his disciples and said, okay, if they think that I am one of the prophets, then who do you say that I am? Because what they know comes from you. Y'all hear that? Y'all hear that? It is our responsibility to make sure that people do not know Christ understand who he is. It was the disciples' responsibility to go out with a message just like their teacher. So he had to ask them, if they think I am one of the prophets, then maybe it's how you presenting me that causes them to not know me. The same thing in this earth, in this world today, as disciples, as students, as saints, as God's chosen people, how are we presenting Christ to people? Are we just presenting Christ as a blesser? You know, come to the Lord because you're going to get blessed. Are we just presenting Christ as a healer? You know, come to the Lord if you just want to be healed. Are we presenting Christ as a relationship maker? You know, if you want to be married, if you want a husband, you want a wife, then come to the Lord. You know, are we presenting Christ as someone who's only there just to supply their needs? And he will, because he promised that. But that's not the reason for Christ coming. The reason for Christ coming is to save us and redeem us from sin. So Jesus had to ask his disciples, if you are going out with my message and teaching my message, then maybe perhaps you don't have a revelation of who I really am, because the people thinking I'm some prophet, or I'm just like John the Baptist. What Jesus wanted them to know is there's something very distinct about my ministry that's different from the prophets or John the Baptist. Do you hear me? And so just like in this world today, you know, as a result of you sitting and being a student under some man or woman of God, individuals, when they look at you, when they talk to you, when you go to them, they ought to know what type of teaching you are being taught based on your behavior, based on how you talk, based on your communication, based on how you dress, based on how you present yourself. So the question we have to ask ourselves, are we representing our teachers accurately? If your pastor becomes a fly on the wall in your house or on your job, what will they see? If your man or woman of God is invisible and look at your behavior and your communication on the job and outside the four walls of the building, what will they see? Would it represent the message that they are teaching? And that goes to show you, the message that's being taught on Thursdays and Wednesdays and Tuesdays and Sundays, that message should be displayed outside of the four walls of the building. And so Jesus said this. He said, okay, who do you say that I am? And one disciple answered back, because evidently the other disciples clearly did not have the answer of who Jesus was. So Peter stood up and said, you know what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied to Peter. He said this. He said, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but this thing came from heaven. In order to have an accurate depiction of understanding of Jesus' ministry, we must have divine revelation. That's why in this world system, individuals cannot understand the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they do not have divine revelation. It is our responsibility. It is the saints. It is the child of God responsibilities to present Jesus in this world system. We are the divine revelation of Jesus to someone that don't know him. Yeah, because flesh and blood could not give you the right understanding concerning Jesus. This is why when we are living in sin, when we are living fleshly, it is impossible to have a divine revelation of who Jesus is. So Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Christ means Christos, the anointed one. You are the anointed one that's able, that came down from heaven. He said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God, begotten of God. The message that we in this hour that we must continually give this world is that Christ is the anointed one that came down from heaven to redeem fallen mankind. Notice that Peter did not say that you are the blesser, that you are the healer, that you are the one that will enable me to get a job. You are the one that will make sure I have a car or a house. You are the one that will make sure my needs are met. No, no, no. That's a secondary responsibility that comes as of being a child of God and living faithful. But the first reason and mission for Christ's coming is to be the anointed one from heaven to redeem man from fallen sin. It takes the anointing of God, the Christos, the Christ, the revelation of who Jesus is. And Jesus says this, he said, upon this rock, upon this good foundation, this good revelatory foundation, Peter, that you just said, I will, watch this, build my church. Now, this is the first mention of the word church in scripture. From Genesis to Matthew, the Old Testament, up into Malachi, up into Matthew chapter number 16, the word church is not mentioned in scripture. And so in this context, this word church comes from a Greek word, because the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek, majority Greek. So the Greek word for this word church is ecclesia, ecclesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. And that means those that are called out from some place to another for the purposes of fulfilling God's will. Ecclesia, those separated for a divine purpose. Notice that Greek word doesn't mean a building with four walls and with stained glass windows, or with chairs or pews in the pulpit and a choir stand and the altar and a steeple. But that word ecclesia is called out, separated for divine purpose. So the church is a spiritual organism that's separated for a divine purpose. And notice that the church is built on the revelation of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. The church, notice that you do not see in Matthew chapter number 16, verse number 18, notice that you do not see that that Jesus built the church on gifts, talents. He didn't say upon the gifts of the Spirit, or upon titles, upon the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and pastors. Notice that he did not say upon the deacon board and the mother board. Notice that he didn't say upon the usher board. Notice that he didn't say upon a pastoral anniversary or a choir anniversary or a women's anniversary or a men's anniversary. Notice he said upon the revelation, the rock. That word rock means sure foundation. When you think of a rock, you think of something that has been brought together with much elements and many materials and hardened by sediment and by heat. And it's a sure foundation. When you see that word rock, it means a foundation. Upon this revelatory foundation, Peter, he said, I'm going to build my church. He told Peter, he said, disciples, he said, listen, he said, Peter got this. Not through flesh and blood, not by observation, not by what he can visually see, what he can smell, he can touch. Because when it comes down to the church of the living God, the church, it has nothing to do with our five senses. It has nothing to do with how one looks. It has nothing. Oh, my goodness. I do not know where I started. But the first revelation that we see is that the church is a spiritual organism. The church wasn't built upon things and how things look and programs and systems and boards and positions. The church was built, the power of the church comes through divine revelation of who Jesus is. Every time we come into the four walls of the building, we ought to leave with a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Based on the word coming forth, based on worship and individuals loving each other, we should leave with a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. So Jesus told Peter, he said, upon this rock, upon this sure foundation, that's what I'm going to build my church. I'm not going to build my church on a person, a pastor, personality, gifts, talents, abilities. I'm going to build my church on divine revelation. The first power that's located in the church is we have a divine revelation. I encourage you, if you are part of the spiritual church, the ecclesia, get a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. You know what? Every time we go in prayer, every time I say a prayer, every time I go into Bible study, every time I worship, I ought not to leave that experience without understanding a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Every time you do something spiritual, you ought to walk away with a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. Why? Because Jesus is, God is always progressive. You see, you never see God stagnant. Whenever I experience the presence of the Lord, I ought to receive a divine revelation of who he is. That's what Jesus was telling Peter. Upon that divine revelation, upon that rock, that is going to be sure. And he's saying to us today, get back to the rock. Get back to who I am. Don't build this church on a personality, apostle so-and-so, prophetess so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, teacher so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so. Build that spiritual organism upon a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. I don't know about you, but every time I come together with fellow believers, we ought to leave with a fresh revelation of who Jesus is. And so that's where the miracles and the gifts operate in. That's what they're for, because if we come together as one, then we will see Jesus revealed as a healer. If, right? If there's a need, then he reveals himself as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. If there's a sickness, then that's when he reveals himself as Jehovah Rapha, a healer. If there's chaos, then that's where he reveals himself as Jehovah Shalom, my peace. If there's sanctification and righteousness, then that's where he reveals himself as Jehovah Tesikanu and Jehovah Makadesh. If there's iniquity and if there's sin, if there's deliverance that need to take place, if there's spiritual warfare going on, then that's when he reveals himself as Jehovah Nisi, the Lord that fight my battles. But we first have to understand who he is. Do not be the church is not manifested in the flesh. It's all spiritual. That's why he said in Romans, the church is not meat and drink. It's not a fleshly thing. It's built upon what? Righteousness and peace in the Holy Spirit. So we are talking about the power of the church. And the church is not a material organism. The church is a spiritual organism. And so in Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 18, we see where Peter's divine revelation, Jesus being the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God. Jesus tell Peter, he said, oh, that's it right there. I will build my church upon that foundation. And so those of us that are part of the church in 2 Corinthians, he says, we are all baptized into one body. Another term for church is the body of Christ. It is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit being born again. Because when we enter into this world, because of Adam's sin, we are born separated from God. And now, in order to come back to God's spiritual organism, we must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that allows us to enter into the church. Notice that everywhere where you see entrance into the church or body of Christ, that you see spiritual, divine, spiritual happenings. Yeah, you don't come into the church by shaking a preacher's hand or putting your name on the roll. You come into this spiritual body by baptism of the Holy Spirit. You do not become a part of the spiritual church, the organism, the ecclesia, by paying tithes and by paying offering and by doing service. Nah, the way you get into the spiritual organism is to be born again. Remember in John chapter number 3, verse number 3 and verse number 5, as Jesus has a dialogue with Nicodemus, and he said, you know what? No man can do these miracles except God be with him. Nicodemus came to Jesus talking about, you know, the things that he's doing. He said, you got it messed up, Nicodemus. He said, except ye be born again, ye cannot see, you cannot understand, you cannot know the kingdom of God. That's where we are missing it. That's why we can't present Jesus as a blesser or what happens or his miracles. Nah, the first thing we need to present him as, listen, the anointed one that's able to deliver me, that's able to deliver me from sin. Yeah, redeem me from sin. And so in this conversation with Nicodemus, Nicodemus said, you know, what are you talking about being born again? How can I enter the second time in my mother's womb? He said, no, you're not understanding, Nicodemus. Except you be born of the water and of the spirit, you cannot enter. Now he says, in verse number 3, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But now he says, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. In verse number 5. So the power of the church, this is part one, the power of the church is the fact that we have a revelation of who Jesus is. And we, as the body of Christ, can stand on that. Regardless of what happens, regardless of what's going on, we can stand on the fact that we are the called out ones, separated for divine purpose. That's the power of being part of the body of Christ. Because as I navigate through this world system, the world don't define me. My job don't define me. The car that I drive don't define me. The house that I live in don't define me. What defines me is that I am separated for God's divine use. Another understanding that we must have is that being separated for God's divine use, I must live for Him. It is because of all these other things, because of me living righteous before Him, because I'm walking separate in His divine nature and for His divine purpose, that these all other things come. That's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 33, seek first the what? Kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added. He said this before Matthew chapter number 16. That's why He had to find out what's His perception. What kind of things people are putting out about me? I need to find out how I'm being viewed, because people got it all wrong. So I tell you, those of you that's listening to this podcast, we will be back. I can't stay all day long, but we will be back with part two of Understanding the Power of the Church. Listen, we are in this powerful series. We're going to begin to look at the church at Antioch in the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at the church in Acts, because it is in Acts of the Apostles, Acts of the Holy Spirit, Acts of Grace, that we find about the movement of the church, the spiritual organism. Yeah, the church is not the four walls of the building. The church is those empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be part number two series of this series, The Power of a Church. We're going to be talking about the church in Acts. We're going to look at the first time believers were called Christians was at the church in Antioch. And we're going to look at some characteristics of that, the body of believers in Antioch that serves as a model and a pattern for us today to walk in and to move in and to operate in. Listen, thank you for listening to this live podcast. Thank you wherever you are, wherever you're at. I pray that this blesses you. I pray that you go back and look at Matthew chapter number 16, beginning at verse number 13, all the way down to verse number 19. I pray that you go back and look at John chapter number 3, verse number 1 through verse number 5, as I discuss these scriptures in this podcast. And look, the church is not, I reiterate, the church is the called out ones separated for divine purpose. The building where the church meets is Greater Believers Worship Center, or First Apostolic, or First Baptist, or First Bethesda, or Gethsemane, or whatever the building name is. That's not the church. Nah, the church is those that have been called out for divine purpose. The church is a spiritual organism. Listen, we are first spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, he said, I pray that you be sanctified holy. That word sanctified also means separated. See, there are, so when you're talking about the church, you got the word church, you got the word body of Christ, you got the word sanctified, you got the word saints. All those mean the same things, believers, Christians. All those mean or turn synonymous to the spiritual organism that God has placed in this world system to transact business for His kingdom, to advance His kingdom in this world system. All those mean the same thing. So when we use the word disciple, saint, believer, Christian, born again, sanctified, all ambassadors, body of Christ, bride of Christ, all those mean the same thing. It's the spiritual organism. Remember that. The spiritual organism. Peter said this. Jesus told Peter, upon the revelation of who I am. Number one, he was the Christ, the anointed one. And it takes anointing to break the yoke of sin. It's the Holy Spirit that anoints an individual to be a disciple. That's why baptism in the Holy Spirit is how you get into the church. You receive the anointing from God. In 1 John, it says the anointing that you have received shall teach you all things. John chapter number 14, verse number 26. Jesus said, the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, yeah, that's the anointing. That's the Spirit of Christ. That is the anointing. Listen, I got to go. Be blessed. Listen, we are located, if you are in Moultrie, if you are in Colquitt County, Georgia area, or the Southwest Georgia area, you can come to Greater Believers Worship Center, 824 Northside Drive. Sunday morning service, 11 o'clock Bible study on Thursday at 6:30. Be blessed and God bless you in Jesus' name. Listen, I pray that you remember that greater is he that is within you than he that's in the world.